If you try to do your time, one day at a time, and you don't participate in that, and you don't belong to anybody, and they're going to get you, and they're going to hurt you, and they're going to use you, and they're going to enjoy it.
And we are back.
We are.
You know, I gotta say, last episode was kind of a dud.
Yeah, that happens.
Not to us. That was like our shortest by a lot.
See, that didn't bother me.
It was like less than a half hour.
That's fine. I don't
You know, they gotta wait, the cabin folk, they gotta wait 2 weeks, and now they get only a half hour of us.
I don't
before
know.
Before they get to go on with their day.
Sometimes I enjoy short podcasts as a listener, so...
I don't know.
Maybe
I just think you guys
someone,
really phoned it in here.
Maybe we gave someone, like they were like, okay, well, I'll listen to it, but I don't really want to dedicate so much time to it. And they're like, sweet, it's a shorter episode. Woo.
And one of my favorite movies. You know, watching it again, mm-hmm. Not a lot of substance to it. This is sort of a fun movie, but, like, finding conversation pieces from In the Mouth of Madness was kind of hard.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
It was fun.
Childhood, one of my childhood favorites.
It was
favorites.
A good trilogy.
It was.
I like how different all the movies were, but mm-hmm. similar, like there was the world was ending probably from this shit.
Yep.
That was happening. And they were all very, very different, but also like they had that tie-in.
For sure. Okay. Now maybe you people can hear a cat meowing,
mm-hmm.
which brings us to my next subject.
Witches.
Oh, witches. No, cats.
They're okay, but they're supposed to have familiars, which are often witches.
Often cats. Good tie-in.
It's not that bad, but yeah.
So anyway, we brought this up a few times. So we talked about it in the attic when I was doing the insulation. My mind sort of collapsed under the claustrophobia,
mm-hmm.
which I have learned that I have
yeah.
from you, my unpaid psychiatrist, and untrained.
Very untrained.
But... up in the attic, on two separate occasions, I saw a cat.
Mm-hmm.
One cat behind the insulation when I had to pull it up. It was really just the insulation that kind of looked like a cat, and I thought my brain was like, dude, that's definitely a cat.
I recognize this shape.
Yeah.
It could only be a cat.
And another one was a very small cat, like, walking across the insulation when I was finally trying to escape that hellhole.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought nothing of these cats. Obviously, it's just my crumbling mental state.
Yes.
So, a couple weeks ago, I was at my friend's house doing a little party. We have these Wednesday get-togethers. And out of the corner of my eye, on three separate occasions, I see a cat walking by. There are no cats in that house. But I think maybe it's a smudge on my glasses. Because it's out of the corner of my eye. I go to look. It's gone.
Yeah.
That's my best guess. My glasses are often dirty. But... another incident happened that you were involved in, and you're squinting because you already forgot about this
yep.
paranormal experience that we both heard.
Go on.
There was a cat sound that came from our kitchen. We both heard it. A cat sound.
I don't remember
You
this.
Don't remember this. No. God damn it. We looked, and we were like, what the hell was that? Because I didn't know which cat it was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're both over in your corner.
Yeah.
Oh,
they
yeah.
were both in the corner. Like, what the hell was that? We went to see if Billy was outside at
yeah,
first.
Yeah, yeah, I thought it was outside of cat fight, yeah.
Because this is still, it's still too cold to have the windows open.
Yeah.
So the windows would have been closed, and we both heard a cat noise come from the kitchen. Now, I'm going to reveal to you the first time. That's the second time I've heard that in our house.
Okay.
I thought nothing of it the first time.
Because we have cats.
Here's the thing.
Hmm.
So, it was kind of late at night, you yeah. were asleep, and I hear a cat noise come from downstairs.
Uh-huh.
Now, you cannot tell our cats apart.
I cannot tell our cats apart.
But I can.
I know, you get so offended when I'm like, Simon,
we've had
and
these things
Billy.
For years. How do you not know their voices by now?
Okay, often if the cat is vocal, I assume it's Simon, because he just does not shut up. Billy doesn't talk as much, so when Billy does talk, I'm just shocked, and I just think Simon.
Oh, man.
Billy's getting more vocal, though, about food.
Kind of like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
So I hear a cat downstairs.
And you're like, it's not one of my cats.
Like,
I know my cat.
Which cat was that? And, like, Simon is at the top of the stairs looking down. Like, he's like, what he's cat not going was downstairs. That?
He loves
I'm like,
downstairs.
Okay, it must have been Billy. But then I look, and Billy's at the top of the stairs.
Like, what cat is that?
No, he's just, he doesn't give a fuck. Yeah, he's like, yeah, third cat, fuck it.
Well, no, I think if we brought another cat in here, Billy would beat them up.
No, but the thing is, I heard this cat, Simon heard this cat, and then you and me, on a separate occasion, heard another ghost cat.
And then you've seen ghost cats up there. So, you're haunted. It's you.
Maybe.
I heard one, but, because you're seeing mystery cats in the corner of your eyes at another house. Hey.
We don't know how many cats our cats have seen.
That's true. But yeah, so you're seeing other cats at other houses.
Mm-hmm.
And then here.
Now.
I mean, there are a lot of stray cats that hang out in this neighborhood, so we could very well be, like, on a cat graveyard and not even
know
it.
Oh, my God. That's true.
Like, we got some strays. Actually, I don't even know how many of them are strays or how many of them are the cats that know that those our neighbors feed them, so they just line up. Because Billy will line up, too, if he's
yeah,
out.
Yeah, he does.
So I don't know how many are actual strays or just neighborhood cats that are like, yeah, I'm going to get a second lunch. Come on.
Yeah. But I got to say, any of these little individual events I've just written off, and you, in reality, can write off every single one of them.
Yeah.
But they are starting to pile up. At what point do you call in a cat exorcist?
Excuse me? Do they exist? Or do we have to call
in? Yeah, they're called dogs.
Okay, then just borrow your mom's dogs.
You see, I don't want to go that far. Okay. I don't want to bring a dog over here. I hate them.
Then we're not going to do anything about it.
Okay.
I mean, it's not harming you. It's just making you think maybe you're going a little crazy, but that's fine.
I don't think I'm going crazy. I think it's ghosts.
Okay,
I think
so we have ghost cats, which I'm fine
well,
with.
Well, okay, the hallucinations were clearly me going crazy.
Yeah, because you were in deep in the fear, but...
Man. I still feel like my spirit is trapped up there.
Maybe. Maybe those ghost cats are trying to get into you because your spirit is. And they're like, look, there's a husk right here we can
honestly,
get into.
I guess that's not even true because, like, it being done now, I can finally chill out and never go in those fucking attics again.
Yeah, because you shouldn't have any reason to while we're here.
God willing.
Yeah.
So maybe that's with the ghosts and the unfinished business. Like, maybe my spirit would be trapped up there if I didn't finish it.
Maybe.
Maybe. Like Casper.
Oh, he was friendly.
That's the first movie I ever heard that from, the unfinished business thing. So every time I hear, like, oh, maybe the ghost has unfinished business, I think
Casper's
back to Casper.
Unfinished business? I don't remember.
Didn't he dance with the girl at the end?
Oh, yeah, then he got to go.
And then that's how she killed him for real. I don't remember. I only have vague memories of this movie. That was Christina Ricci, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think that might have been the first thing I seen her in. Yeah, I know. Good story.
Very good story.
But I will say cats, much better than dogs.
Yeah.
But
what about fish?
Ooh, good segue. We got fish.
We got fish.
That's the end of that story, though, right?
Kids have their own pets now. And a snail. Two fish and a snail. Snaily.
Yep. Who named it?
Logan named all of them. There's Star, Flower, and Snaily.
Aw, that's cute.
Snail, I don't think he was into the snail at first, but now that he's seen the snail moving around and, like, climbing things, I think he's like, oh, that snail's pretty cool. Which, to be fair, I, too, was not that into the snail. I was like, yeah, I guess it'll help keep the tank.
I love that snail. It's the coolest part.
Yeah, it is. Because I've never seen a snail, like, move around that. Like, I don't actually see it moving, but, like, I was worried for a while that the snail was just dead. And
it's cute.
It is cute. A little snaily.
Now, something did terrify us a couple days ago. You're just tilting your head again. You forgot the cat ghost.
Yeah.
Then you forgot this incident. Okay. So, I bought whipped cream for French toast.
God, I hate this story.
And then, of course, the kids want it. They're like, okay, just spray it in my mouth. And, like, I spray it in Logan's mouth.
They want that because you showed them how to do it. You're the one that planted the seed in their head. You did it.
I forgot that part.
It's all you.
Thank you for bringing that up. And then, of course, Logan wants to do it himself.
Because he's a big kid.
Yeah. So he wants to do it himself. I'm like, all right, I hand it to him. Mm-hmm. And then he does it, but he does it like a kid. They screw everything up. He just held it straight up. Press the thing, and then a bunch of, like, air comes out. And I don't think much of it. But then, like, in the part of my brain way back there, it's like, hey, I wonder if that's where the term whippets comes from. I'm like, what? What'd you say, brain? It's like, oh, you know, whippets, like, it's whipped cream. It's an inhalant, right? Because, like, I've always heard the term, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I know, like, losers go to the gas station, get something, and then get high off it.
Uh-huh.
That's, like, the extent of what I know about whippets. So my brain is like, yeah, he's doing whippets right now in front of you. Like, Logan, give me that. Just ripped it out of his hands, like, no, I love it. I need it. Like, no, you don't need this. Okay? You don't need this. So I told him, never again. We're not doing this ever again.
Yeah, this was after you made it a fun thing.
And as I'm thinking, it was really fun. But, and then, like, he starts doing normal little kid things, like, my legs don't work.
Yeah, because he didn't want it. Because he does it a lot, because because often, if I'm downstairs and I just sit down there, like, I want blah, blah, do this. And I'm like, I just sat down. I'm tired. You can get it. So I think
yeah, he gets it from watching you.
Because it never fails. As soon as I sit down, the kids are like, Mom, that reminds me. I want something.
Should have sat down faster.
They've said that to me before, mm-hmm. because they've heard you make that comment.
No. Logan, yeah. That came from Logan. I've said it after Logan said it, because I thought it was
okay,
funny. No, I'm not the origin of that.
God, I get it so fucking sassy. Anyway, so yeah, he was like, my legs aren't working. We're like, oh God. And he also probably had a sugar rush from the whipped cream he actually had, so he was kind of real goofy. And I'm probably feeding off your anxiety, too, because when he's anxious, he gets goofy.
Yeah.
So it's just...
I think whippets are like these little canisters, though.
Okay.
But it is the same gas.
The same gas.
The same exact gas. That's like the gas they give you at the dentist.
See, I like that gas, but it doesn't like make me feel loopy. I just don't care about when my mouth is in pain.
I think you're not
much.
Doing enough.
Probably.
That's why you need the canisters.
Probably, yeah.
It's got like a more...
Really, I think my dentist just gives it to me so he doesn't have to see me twitch in pain. Because I won't say anything. And I'm just like, ugh. He's like, it hurts, doesn't it? And I'm like, yeah.
Oh, man.
And then he just...
You twitch?
I try not to.
There have been a couple times where I've had that happen to me. Like, he'll numb me, and it's not numb at all. I'm feeling everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to get it done.
Same here. They're like, it's not going to be that long.
Like, I just want to get out of there.
And as a redhead, our superpower is Novocaine and shit doesn't work on you as much.
Cool.
So they got to shoot you up a lot. Also, apparently redheads are bleeders. I learned that when I was pregnant with Logan and I went to get a shot and the nurse was like, oh, you're going to be a bleeder when you go into labor. And I'm like, cool. This
and
is my first
were.
Pregnancy. Cool. Well, then I had a C-section, but I was just thinking if I had to like push that kid out, it would just be.
Yeah. They had me in the room when you were having the C-section.
Yeah.
And it was terrifying being able to see what the doctors were doing. Like, well, they had that sheet up. I'm not looking over that sheet. There's no fucking way. But, like, the main doctor, he kind of, at one point, he's like, oh.
This is with Naomi's.
Yeah, this was kid number two. So I would have been left with two kids. That's what I'm thinking. He's like, oh, geez. And then, like, they have, like, this bucket of just blood that's just filling up. It was horrific.
Meanwhile, I'm just like, I've already had a C-section.
Yeah, you're fine. You're like, just let them do their thing.
It's fine.
Because you don't give a shit. You're like, if I die, that's my work is done. It's all on you now.
I am done. I did my job. With Logan's, though, I was nervous because of the whole, like, since the numbing on my teeth don't work as well, I was like, oh, shit, is that thing, am I going to feel the pain when they cut me? So with Logan's, I was shaking a lot, and I was nervous about that.
Yeah.
But it was fine. I felt nothing. Just the you just feel tugging.
Ugh.
But it's not, like, pain. And pressure, you feel some pressure, too.
That's scary. You know how it's such a common cliche where people say, you know, the day my child was born, that was the greatest day of my life.
Yeah.
Dude, did they forget?
Yeah,
it's a terrible day.
I think so.
That day sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in a hospital. For me, like, you could have died.
Mm-hmm.
Or for you could have died.
Yep.
There could be complications.
It's also no guarantee,
the baby could
die. Yeah,
there's
no guarantee that the kid, even you've had a healthy pregnancy, your whole entire pregnancy, there's no guarantee that your kid.
Yeah, there's a lot that can go wrong.
Yeah.
You're thinking about every single one of those things.
And what's really weird, in my head, I forget that C-section is actually a major surgery.
Uh-huh.
Like, they were, like, moving organs around and shit, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a routine surgery.
It is, but it's still, like, major surgery. Like, and I just, like, I think even after I had my first C-section, someone, I'd be at the doctor's office, and they'd be like, have you had surgery before? And I'd be like, nope. And I'm like, wait, I did.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And the nurse made me feel like a dick about that. Okay. So what happened? It was after your C-section, and then I was like, so how many days we got to stay in the hospital? And she turns to me and she's like, your wife just had major surgery, okay? Like, I'm just asking a question. Like, is this not a reasonable question to ask? I say, hey, can we just get that fuck out of here?
Can we just go? Yeah, because you were lacking sleep because you had to sleep on an uncomfortable couch. And I got to take a sleepy pill.
Yeah. They don't treat me like the patient, too. Like, what is up with that? I have to pretend to be you to get food? And then, like, yeah, they come in, they gave you, what's that good one? The Ambien. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, excuse me, nurse, you're supposed to bring two of those? So I got shit sleep. You were fine.
Yeah. But that was probably the best sleep I had had in a long time.
And there's not a second bed. No, I had to sleep on the chair.
Be, like, a better, because you can technically pull the chairs out, but it's like.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
This society just does not care for men at all. I hate it.
Anyway.
Okay.
Should we get on to our spooky stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to go first or should I go
first? Oh, I don't know. Do you want to just start with the prison rape or?
Oh, my God.
What? There's a lot in here. No, let's start with your. You can start with yours.
I feel like we always start with mine.
Oh, you want me to start with mine then?
I don't know.
What?
You're making me nervous.
Making you nervous? Well, hey, I'm very tasteful with, well, really with everything, right? What? Mm. Oh, one of the things they do in prison, speaking of tasteful, they'll spread jelly on the asshole to make it taste better. I didn't hear that from this documentary, but I know that from other ones that I've watched.
I want them to suck my ass in jelly.
Okay. Yeah, why don't we let you go first this time, and then we'll clean our palates with fine.
Yeah, someone's really interested to hear what I got to say. All right. I have notes here. Just balls in mouth.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Don't get too offensive.
I won't.
Rape is not funny.
No, it's terrible.
Okay.
Okay. Do I have to just come out and say that? Yes. I don't like it. I am against the whole concept.
Okay.
All right. Criminal justice reform. The words bring a certain level of fart-sniffing self-satisfaction. Porn sites have added it as a category. It's so fetch right now. But what if there was actually a reason to make changes? We have this notion that the punishment should fit the crime. And so we, as a society, must ask ourselves if there's a nicer way to shove people in cages for decades.
I'm all for reform, by the way.
Me too.
Not to be like a butt sniffer like you said, but I do think our
fart system... sniffer.
A fart sniffer, but I do think
our system... You don't have to get it right from the tap.
I do think our system is flawed, and...
Oh, we'll discuss our own solutions later. Oh,
okay.
The final solution.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Just go on.
Our story begins with a 29-year-old man named Mario Uriosti. It was late January in 1980. Mario was out shopping. We don't know what he found that day, but we know that he couldn't afford it. The American Dream was behind glass display case with a $500 sticker on it. Mario was arrested for shoplifting. He was sentenced to spend the rest of his life in New Mexico State Penitentiary.
Wait, what? He was sentenced for life for shoplifting? Or are you just dramatizing this?
You'll see. The word penitentiary comes from the word penance. The original idea was to run them like monasteries. Inside every one of these animals is a man thirsting for Jesus. So in each of the penitentiary rooms, you find a man kneeling in solitude, holding a rosary, or reading the Bible. Then, one day, another man enters the room, and then a third, and a fourth. Then by 1980, they were stuffing well over 100 men together. There weren't even enough beds. Fights were now breaking out regularly as violent psychopaths sleeping on the floors were being stepped on. Out of necessity, the focus was no longer on rehabilitation. They gave up on getting these dummies into heaven. They didn't need to be saved. They needed to be controlled. More men were coming in than were going out, and they only had so much space. It stressed the importance of separation. So like most prisons, they had isolation cells. There were two cells at the end of cell block 3 that were completely dark and soundproof. Former inmate Dwight Duran recalled his stay in one. He described it as being swallowed alive by something. The isolation cells bring back the idea of penance and meditation. Over time, it became apparent that the isolation cells had a negative and sometimes permanent impact on the psyches of inmates who spend prolonged periods in them. What?
I'm just like, are they shot Pikachu at this?
Shocked Pikachu.
Like,
I think they were. Because you think about it, like, if you club a dude a bunch, clearly that's going to mess him up.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you're not really doing anything. You're just stuffing him in a dark room for weeks, years at a time.
I mean, you go stir crazy being in a house.
Yeah.
With things to do that you can do whenever you want, basically.
Yeah. But would you prefer it if you were in a men's prison?
Yes, I would prefer to be alone.
Yeah, right?
All right, go on.
I'm saying there's worse rooms to be trapped in at these prisons.
Go on.
Conditions such as depression, PTSD, and impulse control have all been linked to solitary confinement. And then the majority of those people eventually get to re-enter society with this all these new problems.
That no one's gonna fix.
There was this other documentary that I watched on Rikers Island, and it was showing all these like super violent, super aggressive criminals, and like they're talking to the guards and like, yeah, they just throw pee and poop and cum at us just all the time. And then like this new like commissioner shows up, and like he just seems like this nice guy, this optimistic guy. He's like, you know what, we just got to start treating these people better. We gotta first thing, I'm gonna end solitary confinement. And then like it cuts to one of the guards like, the fuck he is. This guard with like his face was all cut up because like some inmate tried to kill him. And then like it was talking to this other chick that I think this was Diane Sawyer reporting on this whole thing. And she was like, you know, I get cum thrown at me, and then they go to solitary. If, like, I don't have that ability to do that, they're just going to keep doing it and keep laughing about it. Like, that's a good reason to throw people in a hole. Okay. I don't know. More on that. We could discuss that after this whole thing. Mario, this is our old guy that we were talking about earlier. The shoplifter.
I got memory. I mean, I don't remember the ghost cats, apparently, but I do remember.
So, Mario, who is now going to spend the rest of his life in this New Mexico State penitentiary.
For shoplifting $500. There's got to be more to this
story.
They
didn't say how much money it was. But yeah, he spends the rest of his life.
Just picturing $5.
Mario was to be held in cell block 5. However, that cell block was being repaired. So all the prisoners, over 100 of them, were moved. But there was no convenient place to put them all. It's not like having two children, where you just lock them in the crawl space for a while. They moved them to the only place that would fit every one of them. A large, open dormitory, where they could just do whatever. There was well over 100 in there, but the exact number wasn't known. One of the responsibilities of these untrained guards was to count them. So they would creep around at night and start counting the bodies. Or, at least they were supposed to do that. It was dangerous to be in there, completely at the mercy of the multiple gangs of very dangerous people. So most of the time, it was just the last number that the previous guy put down. Knowing what we know now, A lot of people would still be alive if lying about the numbers was the official policy.
Because they would just lie about the numbers.
So they would. Could you imagine?
No, I'm just saying if that policy existed, they'd be fine because they just would have.
A guy goes in there, opens the door to, I think it was like 120 people in this room, like violent lunatics, and just has to walk around counting them all.
Seems like a great job.
Don't they have cameras?
I don't know, it was the 80s.
They did. They had camera technology for over 100 years.
I mean, but was it good? I mean,
no.
It was being remodeled, so like there was probably a room that they weren't using very often, so they probably just didn't think to put cameras in there for the interim.
God, I feel like you either have cameras or you don't send a guy in to count.
No, I agree. I just feel like it was supposed to be like a temporary fix while this other place was getting fixed, so they might not have had cameras set up there.
That's true. Didn't think about that.
Sorry. Yeah, one.
Dwight Duran recounted a tale of his time in the dormitory. He was the prisoner. Mm-hmm. The prisoners were fond of homemade alcohol and would all often get hammered.
Ooh, what did they make it out of?
I don't remember. They said, but... why, like, do you want to look up a recipe?
I don't know. I was just trying to think about
I don't think it was mouthwash. They actually fermented stuff.
Interesting.
But I don't remember what it was. The large dormitory had adjacent rooms.
So nasty.
I imagine. And I would have drank it like a fish.
Like you would have... I mean, yeah. Because you need something to numb you. God. And I would, like...
All right. I would have definitely gotten hammered if I was stuck in this room.
I mean, you know, I hate the taste of alcohol. I probably would have...
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
The large dormitory had adjacent rooms that were dark and private. He recalled one incident where a man was forced to dance on a table. The drunken inmates, New Mexico's most dangerous, were cheering him on, wanting more. They dragged him in, and then out of the room came the smell of feces. A man came out and invited Dwight to join, but he said, nah, I'm good. Mario Uriosti, our unfortunate shoplifter, informed one of the guards that he had just been gang raped by 7 inmates. Mario was not accustomed to prison life, so this was a culture shock for him. Another part of prison culture is not to snitch on your fellow inmates. Mario decided to press charges on the men, so he was voluntarily moved to cell block 4. This cell block was specifically for inmates who were at risk. It was the snitch block. This is where they kept the pedos and the mentally diminutive, I guess. They had like, they mentioned this one guy who had like the mental IQ of a 12-year-old and stuff like that. So like all those people.
So they were trying to keep people safe.
They did their best. Yeah. But as we'll find out, they didn't try hard enough.
Well, I mean...
About a week later, on February 2nd, 1980, the trouble really began.
How long was he in
about
jail
a week.
For?
It was about a week.
Jeez. Because, yeah, so this was February, and he got arrested in 1980.
Yeah.
So, January? Yeah. So, like, oh, God.
He was in there for, like, a week or two.
Jeez, okay.
So, the inmates were shit-faced on homemade booze. One of them stood up and said something along the lines of, fuck this place. When they come in to count us, we'll just bust through and take it over. Not the most genius plan, but it worked.
But in numbers. I mean, they got the numbers.
They do. Then they said anybody who doesn't join us is going to get the shit beat out of them. Yeah. Like, okay.
They're all drunk. They're desperate. There are probably a lot of them are probably know they're going to be in jail for the rest of their lives anyway. What do you have to lose?
Yeah. And you imagine you're not well protected in there.
No.
By the guards. There's like 3 guards watching 100 people.
It's
crazy.
And they could get a huge group rushing.
The guards were stripped naked and held in different cells. One of the guards recounted an inmate getting his face smashed in. That was the first of many deaths. He realized at that moment just how bad things could get. And oh, they would.
They didn't hurt the guards?
The thing is, no. They kept the guards hostage.
Okay.
So that was kind of a strategy, because as soon as the guards started getting killed, it was over. People were going to come in.
Okay,
so
okay.
They held them hostage.
The other inmates were free game.
Yeah. The police didn't give a fuck about them killing inmates.
So someone had enough foresight or brains to be like, we can't hurt the guard. We can't kill the guards.
They're interviewing these people, and they're not, like, dumb people. Well, I mean, maybe you could call them dumb because of all the dumb things they've done. But they're not, like, crazy people. Like, they know what they're doing. We'll just say that. So, the guards were stripped naked, held in different cells, yada, yada, yada. Oh, but the prison guards were not the main source of hatred. They were just good old boys doing their jobs. The real enemies were in cell block 4.
Oh, shit. So the guards are naked, so they got the keys.
Mm-hmm. They got all the keys to the place. Took them a while. They had to, like, bash this bulletproof glass with, like, something, a fire extinguisher. And they managed to get through bulletproof glass with that.
Interesting.
I think it was shitty bulletproof glass.
Because how fast is a bullet train? It should be able to handle a lot of force.
I think you could shoot a bullet through this glass, if I were to guess. Probably should have got their money
Maybe
back in hindsight.
Maybe they were told it was bulletproof, or they're not going to test it.
Oh my god, that might have been. The real enemies were in cell block 4. The rioters put together an execution squad to deliver the stitches to the snitches. Now, I would like to mention something. This execution squad is a lot of different racial hate groups coming together.
Oh, okay.
So.
Go on.
Yeah. I guess. You know, like the Aryan Brotherhood. Yeah,
just go on. Just go on with their story. Just go on.
Okay. I wanted to lighten it up a little bit because it gets bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They had the keys to the whole building. But then they got to cell block 4. The cells were operated by a control panel that they didn't have access to. Now, with only half-hard vengeance boners, they limply limped away. Right past cell block 5, which was under renovations. As they were checking out the new Jimmy Carter mural, or whatever the fuck they were doing there, they stumbled upon something that would change their fortune. Acetylene torches were lying around as if the Jesus they thirsted for was, like, make those snitches pay.
Oh, because it's...
it's under renovation.
Under renovation.
Yeah, so they got all these blow torches now.
Wow. So you could make, like a Lifetime or a Hallmark movie about this. Like, things were rough. And then...
Yeah, you could. Wow. You have a dark sense of humor, Ashley. Jesus.
Ashley, stop it. Okay. I'm glaring at myself now.
And boy, did they. The work was hard but rewarding. Actually, more fun than just opening the cells and gutting them. This added an element of drama. A slow burn, if you will. One of them was impaled...
Sorry, I just read so much romance novels and stuff. Very good use of a slow burn.
So yeah, they use these torches to just slowly cut through the bars on these cells.
Do they have any idea how long it took?
Yes. 3 hours.
Per cell?
Nope. Total.
Total. Okay. Oh, wow.
I don't know how many torches they had. They might have had a bunch of them.
Oh, okay. Okay,
that's kind of
a
spoiler. I get to that.
Sorry, I thought like it would take 3 hours per cell, and that's a real slow burn, but okay.
Yeah, I guess they must have cut through those bars pretty quick, because there were quite a few of them. I think there were like 80 people.
Jeez.
No, it might have to be less than 80. Because only 33 people died in total. And I think they killed everyone in cell block 4.
Oh.
No, well, everyone maybe except Mario.
No, I would just feel bad for the ones who were, like, the pedophiles I don't care about.
Okay.
But, like, yeah.
Yeah. You don't care about the snitches.
I don't, I mean, it depends on what the snitches, I do care about the snitches.
Some of them were real dicks. Just so you know, they did, like, falsely testify against people for better treatment.
Well, okay.
Okay.
That is the only thing, okay, go on.
Okay. One of them was impaled with a red-hot bar. Another was decapitated with a shovel. A sheriff recalled...
Holy fuck.
What?
With a shovel?
Yeah.
God, they must have, like, knocked him out. I don't know, like, just to be, like, I
wonder
how
held
long...
him down.
Yeah, jeez. I guess shovels can get pretty sharp, but I still feel like you'd have to be, like, hacking away. Or, like, I don't even...
No, you just, it's like you're digging a hole. You put the shovel on his neck, and then you just...
Pop!
Yeah. I mean, if you got, you got two guys on the arms, one guy holding his head.
Okay.
And a fourth guy working the shovel. I don't think it'd be that
hard. I think we're gonna have to put, content warning on this podcast about how graphic it is.
Oh, please. Yeah, you might want to do
at the
yeah, this one is a little fucked up.
I think maybe we should go to the beginning and have Eliza voiceover for us too. Like, shit's gonna get real dark.
Okay.
Warning: this episode contains violent descriptions of rape and torture that may be offensive to some listeners.
So, a sheriff recalled observing the chaos with binoculars. He and another had watched as two men held a prisoner while a third in the execution squad went to work on the snitch's eyeballs.
So they had
the torch.
They had guards in that cell block too locked up? So they could see?
These guys are outside the prison watching it with binoculars.
Oh, okay. Missed that. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't want to go in there right now, you guys. I think we should just...
The head suddenly exploded as the pressure built up.
Oh my god.
He turned to the other one and said, "Holy shit, did you see that?" And like, "Yeah, dude, fucking gross." So the sheriff noted how powerless it felt not being able to stop it. You know, since no one who mattered had died yet. God. The inmates knew the second a guard was killed, it was over. So they continued their way through cell block 4. It took 3 hours in total to blast their way through each cell. Meanwhile, negotiations were happening between inmate leaders and the police. The inmates were like, "Give us steaks and pool tables or something.
Like, look, we know we're fucked and we're going to be locked up here still, but just, you know."
Yeah. The way the news at the time covered it made it sound like they just wanted some reasonable living conditions. Really, they hadn't thought this far ahead and mostly wanted to keep the party going. So they were just saying whatever. Oh, they raided the pharmacy, too. I don't know if I talked about
that. Oh, my God. So they're probably high on...
They were all on a bunch of drugs at this point.
Okay.
But a day later, the negotiations were going terribly. There were three guards held in one room. An inmate came in and held a mangled, severed head in front of them, a harbinger of what was to come. It had been decided that these three guards would be publicly executed, to make the negotiations more interesting. So they were dragged out of their cell, screaming for mercy. They were brought out into the light of day for all the world to see. Then one by one, they were set free to go home to their families.
What?
It was all just a goof. The head was real.
So they just made the guards... like, shit themselves and piss themselves, and then they're like, "Just kidding, you can go free."
I think so. That's kind of what it sounded like, because they got to leave. Oh, that head was one of those...
snitches? Or...
Yeah, well, it was one of the, like, people with a mental IQ of 12.
Aww.
I shouldn't have told you. I don't know why I brought that up.
Those are the ones that I feel the worst for in that situation, because... And Mario, too. I mean, I don't know about Mario, but we don't...
He might be okay. In total... 33 people died.
And that cell block had 80 people.
Oh, boy. You're asking me details that
I
don't
remember. Well, I feel like you said 80 earlier.
I probably was wrong.
30 out of 80. So what percentage is that?
That's like 40%-ish.
Oof. Oh, yeah, I could have done that myself. That's not that hard math. If I think about what half of 80 is.
Yeah, it's around there. I don't know. So in total, 33 people had lost their lives over 2 days.
Jeez.
Larry Flood was one of the corrections officers who had to sift through the debris. Here's a clip of his account. Play clip. Oh, hang on.
That was Mario Uriosti. He's from Santa Fe, was from Santa Fe, New Mexico. He was in for shoplifting. The week before the riot, he had been gang raped, and he wanted to press charges. His was one of the bodies I did recognize when I got to cell block 4. He was hanging from the grill work separating the officer station from the north corridor. His throat had been cut, his genitals had been cut off, and they were stuffed in his mouth. It wasn't a safe place. Not for Mario. He should never have even been in the penitentiary.
And there you have it.
You dick.
What?
I'm so sad.
Oh, yeah, you should be. It was terrible.
It was terrible, and he never should have been there.
Yeah, he spent the rest of his life in the penitentiary.
Dead.
For shoplifting.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. I hope yours is more fun than mine.
Yeah, mine is. But, oh, my God. This is a rough. So, do you think that place is haunted now?
This is funny that you bring this up. Yep. I originally found out about this event watching one of my haunted shows.
Okay. Because I feel like there'd be a lot of restless. I hope Mario is haunting the fuck out of people.
Yeah, I didn't remember which show it was, so I tried Googling it, and then it turns out they all have one in this place.
So it is spooky. So, is it still open?
No, it's not. Well, it's not operational. It's still up. You can go there. So that dumb show, The Dead Files, mm-hmm. I found out they had an episode, so I just watched that today.
How was it?
Oh, it was terrible. She didn't pick up on the blowtorches at all. She's just like, there was a demon here. It, like, came out of the well.
Is that what possessed these inmates?
I don't know. This show's so fucking stupid. I hate that show.
The thing is, I feel like that show could be better if it was done better. Like, the premise. I like the premise.
It's
you got like the hippy dippy ghosty lady, and then you have the I'm a really serious police officer. Yeah, like, that's a good gimmick.
You know what? I like the cop on the show. I feel like the psychic chick is annoying.
Yeah,
if they had
the
somebody
little bit
else.
That I watched, I did like the because he was asking good questions of the people he's interviewing. He's like a skeptic, but he's taking it seriously. I mean, she's taking it seriously too, but. She's got the weird camera angles and like the it's just
yeah. Ugh, I don't know. I could not get into that show.
I think it would be better if they did it together. Like in the same
place. That's not the premise.
I know.
He's got to confirm her nonsense.
Like, I think there was a way to make the show good. I got to think about it, though.
You know what show? Do you remember that show with it was like this two dudes surviving, and one of them was like the Marine guy. And the other one was like that hippie weirdo who didn't wear shoes.
Yes.
Kind of like that, but with psychics. Like, yeah. If they gave me that show.
I would love that.
But it is hard. Like, the psychic thing it bothers me
Chip
so
Coffee
much.
Chip Coffee is the best.
Oh, if they had Chip Coffee as the psychic, and then some cop who's just always annoyed by him.
Okay, so... Very disturbing story. I mean, I should have known because I knew what you were going to be talking about, like, because you told me you were going to do this. But, so, what are some of the ghosts?
I don't know. Shadow people.
Shadow people.
Oh, so criminal justice reform. Do we want to get back to that?
I mean, I don't want to get... I just think we definitely need it.
This story didn't convince you that everything's going great? Well, that was, like, 40 years ago.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that it's a little better...
I think it is, but I guess I don't really know.
But
I'm not really plugged into this world.
Yeah, I just, as the guy said in that clip you shared with me, he shouldn't have been there.
Yeah, I mean, like, for shoplifting, going to a place like that, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But it sounded like everything was, all the prisons were overcrowded back then, so maybe they didn't have room at a nicer place.
Ugh.
Ugh. But anyway, like, the prisoners... that they were interviewing. They interviewed a couple guys that were in that execution squad,
mm-hmm.
and they're just out in the world now.
Wow.
They're just out.
They got out? They didn't get... Because they murdered murderers and stuff? Or, like, what is it? Like, why?
So, one of the guys... one of the guys was, like... He was just recently diagnosed with some fatal illness, so... He was finally talking about it for the first time openly. The other guy... He was like an Aryan Brotherhood leader, and no one testified against him. So he, basically all those people that like blowtorched those snitches, they didn't get any time for that. Because
no one wanted to snitch them out?
Yeah. No one would testify against them.
Interesting.
And they didn't have camera technology at the time.
It was 1980.
Why would you, I can't even understand why you would need someone to testify against these people.
Yeah.
Like, there should be cameras rolling.
Yeah, there should have,
Yeah, so that was crazy. And then, like, they asked that guy about the Cell Block 4 incident, and he was like, they're like, were you part of the Cell Block 4 execution squad? And he's like, I've been in cell block 4. I'm like, that's all he said. They're like, okay. We're not gonna press you.
We're not gonna press. That's a good story. Disturbing as fuck.
So my criminal justice reform, some of these people should just be killed. A couple of them, right? Like, some of those people.
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
Well, because, like, okay, if you go to prison, maybe not have death sentence until you prove that you suck in prison, too. Like, if you don't make a good inmate. Like, if you're raping people in prison, then you should be killed, right?
I don't know. I don't know.
Ah, you don't like it?
I don't know.
What if you're a pedophile in prison?
Yeah, I don't care about them.
Okay. Well, there you go then.
Okay. Should we move on to mine?
Mm-hmm.
So, I play D&D, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we were chatting. My DM was talking about haunted stuff. And apparently, she went to a haunted college. Specifically, the library is haunted. So that made me think about, are there other haunted libraries? And there are.
How many are there?
There's a lot, but I'm covering like 5.
Okay.
I'm not going to do spooky stories like Andrew because I don't have that skill set, but...
Haunted libraries are spooky.
They are spooky. So, Illinois State University. That's where my friend went. And there's a ghost. Angeline Vernon Milner was the university's first full-time librarian in 1890.
Ooh.
The students called her Aunt Ange. And she was popular. Former students wrote her letters during World War I, and they kept the letters, so like she was corresponding with them as they fought overseas.
Can you read those letters now? Do they have them somewhere?
They have them, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like online?
I don't know if they're online or if it's just at the school. Anyway, according to the legend, she died in 1928, and she supposedly collapsed while organizing a section of biology books.
Wow.
So she died on the job.
So, this is where you got to throw in, like, she was reading a book about the human heart.
Oh, see, yeah.
I like to make up stuff like that.
I know. Anyway, some dates to know. In 1917, the university moved its library from the old main building to North Hall, where Milner worked until she died. So 1917, new building. North Hall was a library until 1940, when a new building was built and called the Milner Library. And then in 1976, the old Milner Library became known as Williams Hall, and most of the books were moved to another new library called Milner Library.
What?
So the books have moved a lot to different areas.
So they're moving books in this haunted.
They're moving books. So Whoa. She haunts a building that she never really worked in. Most sightings have happened after the 1980s.
Really?
Employees report eerie feelings in Williams Hall archives because a lot of the old books are still in their first new library. So a lot of books are still there. People have seen mists and fog. Books have fallen from the shelves. In 1995, an employee witnessed a full torso apparition of the librarian working in the archive.
Oh my God.
She described it as a 5-foot-tall elderly woman in a floor-length dress, wearing her hair in a bun. Most people believe that the ghost is not haunting the library itself, but the books. That's why
Do you think she's attached to, like, one book in particular? I don't know.
At some point, ghost hunters went to explore and live stream it, and they thought it was filming, but then they realized after they were done that the live stream caught nothing, and they found the nook, which is a nook that supposedly they can't go into details about, because if you find the nook, you're not really supposed to talk about it, but people leave, like, gifts for the ghost.
What?
Yeah, so, but they're like, we think Milner doesn't want us talking about it, so we're not going to say any more than that.
Oh, we gotta find that nook.
The nook, yeah.
That's in Illinois?
Yep, in Illinois. Normal Illinois.
Normal Illinois. Mm-hmm. There's an abnormal one?
I don't know. So that's the first story, but she's also the inspiration. I thought they said they filmed the Ghostbusters scene there, but no, she's the inspiration of the ghost.
Oh.
In that Ghostbusters scene, the ghost librarian.
Oh, that's so cool. So is this woman kind of scary? Like,
it's not,
loud?
No, everyone that talks about it says, like, they get good vibes from her, that they feel like she's just trying to help still.
Okay.
The exact opposite of your story.
Like, why is every one of these books out of place?
She's just trying to organize it again. So, yeah, so they think that she's haunting the books, because that's why. So
that makes sense.
So, our next library, Marsh's Library in Dublin, built to the order of Archbishop Narcissus Marsh. I can't pronounce it. N-A-R-C-I-S-S-U-S.
Narcissus.
Yeah, Narcissus Marsh. The library opened in 1707 and was the first public library in Ireland.
Wow.
The library still has the original bookshelves and reading desks from 300 years ago. And a lot of the old books are still in the same places.
They still have the same desks?
They still have the same desks.
How many carvings are in those things?
I don't know. And a lot of the original books are still in the same spot.
Oh my God.
The library has literal cages in it for the readers, because there was a period of time where people kept stealing books. So they would lock the readers in cages while they were there.
Do they still use them?
They don't still use them, but they kept three of the cages. So anyway, the ghost appears to be Marsh himself, the original guy that ordered this library to be built. His story involves his niece. He raised his niece named Grace, and when she was 19, she fell in love with the sea captain. Marsh did not approve, and he made his displeasure known. He did not like this relationship. Grace and her captain would leave notes for each other in various books within the library. At one point, they decided to elope. Well, there's two different versions about this part. One version goes, she left a note in the book for her uncle that detailed her elopement, but he never found the note, is one version. The other version is she dropped the note on the floor as she left, and later on Marsh found it and learned about the elopement that way.
Uh-oh.
But they never saw each other again. And so Marsh apparently haunts the stacks, seeking out notes from his niece, sometimes throwing tantrums and making a mess of things. The library staff isn't too upset with the ghost, though, because he often puts things back after he's done being upset. So yeah, he's looking for notes from his niece. Is it a kid or a cat?
Kid.
Pause.
You can't tell the kids from the cats? Oh my God. Okay, pause.
So yeah, the current librarians are like, oh, wait, he can be here because he cleans up after himself.
Well, that is a very nice ghost.
But there's some more interesting stories about this library. John Swift's ghost apparently visits the library because...
Is he the Viking?
No, he's the one that wrote... He was a writer.
I'm thinking of Lost Vikings. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Anyway, he visits the ghost because his girlfriend's skull is at the library. It was donated to the library, so they have her skull in one of the cages.
What?
So, yeah.
Can you read in
his,
that one?
His skull, I don't know. His skull's at a church that's next to the library, and hers is in the library. So they have it in one of the cages, supposedly, and he visits the skull.
That's so cool.
And then Bram Stoker wrote and researched in this library. He became a regular reader at the library, visiting frequently during his studies at Trinity College. And those detailed records have survived about what he was looking at. So I can link that to you if you want to look at it.
What? Wait, what? Yeah, send it. So is this stuff all, like, framed in the library?
Well, they just have, like, records of, because you had to, like, sign in and explain what books you were getting, so they just had those records.
Ooh, that's so cool. They got a signature in the sign-in sheet. Yeah. Oh, my God.
So I'm definitely going to link this in our show notes, but yeah, this is...
And how cool would it be to have your skull somewhere?
Yeah.
Like, I think we're wasting opportunities putting them in graves.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Like, if your skull means something, like, because you're kind of a cool person.
Yeah.
I would rather it be somewhere where people can see it and mm-hmm. be like, man, that's that guy's skull.
Now, do you think it's... I think it's great and hilarious, but do you think some people are, like, offended that they have his girlfriend's skull just in a cage?
What? No, that's where they belong.
I just like...
Wait, that. Why did they have her skull?
It was donated. Maybe she was donated. Famous. Their bodies were donated. Like, his body, John Swift's body, was donated, and so the... A church has, like, his skull, and then the library has her skull. I don't...
Can you imagine being a church getting a famous skull? Like, thank you?
Thank you. It's okay, just what I always wanted.
I guess I'll put it in the guest room?
This library also has bullet holes because it was, like... Pause.
Aww.
Okay, so, yeah, there's bullet holes because... I forgot, I didn't...
Gunfights?
Easter War. Rebellion or something like that. Some kind of big Irish thing.
Hey, and, that's coming up in a couple days.
It was close to a place that got attacked, so it has some bullet holes in the walls.
Cool.
A friendly ghost.
Shooting guns?
No, that's just unrelated.
Okay.
I just thought it was cool to share that old library. This is, and also, this is one of the oldest buildings in Ireland that is still being used for its original purpose.
You know, I bet a ghost would stand out pretty well in a library.
Yeah, because it's quiet.
Yeah, you think, like, how many haunted nightclubs are there?
Yeah, probably a lot, and you wouldn't notice.
You'd never know.
No, it'd be too crazy. Maybe you'll get a cold spot, and you'll be like, God, this feels so nice.
Hey, guys, come over here.
The spot feels great. Woo. Okay, another library. You want me to keep going on?
Yeah, please.
Okay, Peoria Public Library. The story begins with a curse. In 1830, Mrs. Andrew Gray gained custody of
Andrew?
Well, I think that's her husband's name.
Mrs.
Andrew Gray.
I hate it when they do that.
Yeah. Gained custody of her nephew after her brother passed away. Her nephew often got into trouble with the law, enough so that Mrs. Gray needed to hire a lawyer. The lawyer was David Davis. He kept getting the nephew out of trouble, but eventually became concerned about Mrs. Gray being able to pay his legal fees. He forced the Grays to use their house as collateral, and then sued to collect the mortgage. Whoa. At this point, Gray had kicked her nephew out, but then his lifeless body was found floating in the Illinois River.
This is from the lawyer? Did he kill him?
I don't know. It just said, at this point, Gray had kicked her nephew out, but then his lifeless body was found floating in the Illinois River. This set Mrs. Gray off, and she cursed the property and all future occupants. Davis, after getting the property, could never grow on the land, despite it being quite fruitful for Mrs. Gray. So it was super good for her, not great for him.
Unless you just dump salt everywhere.
Eventually, the library got the property, and the first three directors of the library died of unusual circumstances.
What are they, does it say?
The first, E.S. Wilcox, was killed in a streetcar accident in 1915.
Jeez.
The second one, Samuel Patterson Prowse, died from a heart attack that he had at a library board meeting in 1921.
Hmm.
And the third one, Dr. Edwin Wiley, committed suicide by swallowing arsenic in 1924.
Jeez.
So, like, weird deaths, but kind of not, like...
Yeah, not that weird.
Yeah. But everyone just thought of the curse. So she must have, like, told a bunch of people she did the curse, because the sources were saying, like, the curse was fresh in everyone's minds when these deaths happened.
Wow.
So everyone knew about the curse. Mr. Wilcox haunts the library. Patrons have seen a man in early 20th century attire wandering the halls. Employees have also seen his face in a basement doorway, and they hear their names being called when no one's around.
Cool.
In 1966, that library was demolished and a new one was built in its place, but people still claim to see the ghost that haunted the old library.
Wow.
So they're tied to the land in this case.
Cool.
And now, speaking of art.
We should curse this house when we get another one.
Yeah, I guess we could.
Do you want to do that?
I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
Is the house already cursed? I mean, we got cat ghosts.
It just seems like a cool thing to do when you're on the way out.
I kind of know, but what if... I don't know, I feel bad. I don't want to ruin someone's life.
Okay.
Kimberly Africana Library in South Africa. The first librarian ended up killing himself by swallowing arsenic.
Again?
He had been messing with the library's finances, and it was discovered. When it was discovered, he killed himself. It took 3 days of suffering before he died.
Oh, my God.
His ghost can often be found in the section with printing and manuscripts dating back to the 17th century. Around 4 p.m., people hear the sound of teacups to be heard. So he's a ghost who does his tea time still.
Oh, he does tea parties.
Yep. Librarians often claim if they want a book, it will come crashing down onto the floor. Often
really? That's cool.
Hearing someone running, like walking away, but never seen a person. So a book will fall, and then you hear, like, walking away. Books move mysteriously and rearrange themselves. Pacing can be heard throughout the library. Several witnesses have claimed to see a man in Victorian clothing wandering through the library. Okay, but see, this makes me want to just dress up like a ye oldie time person and just, like, walk through.
Have, like, a fog machine with
yeah,
you.
Just, like, walk through.
Oh, I'd love that.
And the last ghost story we'll talk about takes place in the Houston Public Library. The ghost is of former caretaker Jacob Frank Kramer and his German Shepherd, Petey. Kramer loved taking care of the library. He also lived in an apartment in the basement. He died in that apartment in 1936, and his dog was never found. But his ghost plays the violin. People can hear waltzes being played and then the sound of, like, dog's nails on the floor.
No, they found the dog.
Yeah. Sheet music has been found in various places throughout the library, often scattered on the floor in the middle of the night. Ghostly orbs are reported being seen around the building. But yeah, so he's just a ghost that plays good music.
Oh, okay.
With his dog.
Well, that sounds very nice.
Yeah, so my stories all had, like, friendly ghosts.
Yeah.
And, like, most of the ghosts in these libraries are just nerds that just want to keep reading and they help the librarians.
Yeah.
Like...
Just doing menial tasks for the library for all time.
Because the books are precious to them.
Aw, that's cute.
But I like the idea of, like, objects being haunted. Like, yeah. we get that from, like, oh my god, The Conjuring.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that Dead Files episode. So there was a woman, she was an actress, and she was there doing a movie. And she found this cool hat. And she took it with her and got haunted by it.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. One of the stories that she had, she was in a cell or something. She was just waiting, and someone said, "How are you doing?" And she said, "Fine, how are you?" He's like, "Better now."
Ugh.
And she looked around, there was no one there.
Oh, God. That's creepy to hear in a cell.
Ooh.
I also made me wonder, like, about haunted bookstores. I just want to go a whole, like, avenue of nerdy haunted stuff.
Are there haunted bookstores?
There was a list that would come up. The bummer thing was, like, it was hard to find
the real ones.
But almost every resource said the same thing, and it wasn't, like, a lot of details about, like, the hauntings. It's just, there's a ghost.
Yeah, usually when I do research, it is like that. Like, there's probably just one source.
Yeah.
And they all get it from that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with this one, there's one really good documentary that came out in 1980-ish.
Oh, no. So, like, right after it happened?
No, it must have been later. Yeah. I think I read 1980 in the title, because that's probably when the riot happened. But it was way later that this documentary happened. And everything else that I read was just from that documentary.
Yeah. Because sometimes, like, the Kimberly Library, they said there was one source that said, like, three other people died from arsenic poisoning, mm-hmm. other library directors, and no source said anything but that one little sentence. And I'm like, okay, but I kind of want more.
Yeah.
So possibly three other librarians died of arsenic in that library. That's, like, another thing they're tying it to, but I could not find the sources anywhere.
That's crazy.
And I don't know if maybe that's just... a bad way
to die.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if maybe this is just, like, I could find it if I looked it up in their language.
I just heard the story about this Korean guy who's his wife cheated on him.
Oh.
And no, he didn't poison her. He poisoned himself slowly over 20 years.
Why?
Because she had to take care of him.
Oh my God.
That was his way of getting revenge.
That guy, yeah, apparently he got discovered that he was fudging with the Retla finances. And one of the articles made it sound like he was just trying to fudge it with it to give the library more money, like, not for himself, but for the library.
Oh, that's nice.
And then he got caught, and he was like, can't go to jail or whatever, and arsenic, and it took 3 days.
Ugh.
But now he's enjoying ghostly tea.
Taken more.
I liked the cursed one. I'm wondering what other curses.
Does sound cool.
Cursed library.
I'm going to have to curse someone at some point.
Yeah.
I assume she probably
did just salt the earth.
Yeah.
Because that guy, she apparently had a great garden and everything, and nothing could grow, and she blamed him. She must have blamed the lawyer, even though they didn't really say it, for her nephew's death, because mm-hmm. it was after that. Although her nephew kind of sounded like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
She lost all this money because of him. Then he died, and it's like, really? So she must have thought the lawyer had something to do with it. Because I don't know why, like...
Well, man, those were good stories.
But why don't people curse people these days? Like, you don't hear about...
I think we've fallen too far from God. Like, everybody's an atheist now, so we can't curse anybody anymore.
I guess that's a good point.
We need to bring back cursing.
Yeah, maybe.
Wow. You know how they call them curse words? Maybe everything sucks so bad because everybody just uses curse words all the time.
All the time. Oh, shit. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck.
Fuck my shit.
Should we pick a movie?
I think we should.
All right, let me
Now is the time. Yeah, this is longer than our last podcast.
Okay, 66.
Ooh, 66. Oh.
Oh, God.
Oh, I've been wanting to watch this with you.
I'm so scared.
It's called It Follows.
Okay.
This is
I think I've heard of it. I saw it. I don't remember what it's about, but I...
Okay, well, I won't tell you.
Well, I want you to read me a synopsis, though.
Okay. You want a synopsis of this. And you want to hear a fun tie-in.
Yeah. But, I know the movie name.
After a carefree teenager, Jay, sleeps with her new boyfriend. So, Jay is a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh, for the first time, She learns that she is the latest recipient of a fatal curse that is passed from victim to victim via sexual intercourse. Death, Jay learns, will creep inexorably toward her as either a friend or a stranger. Jay's friends don't believe her seemingly paranoid ravings until they too begin to see the phantom assassins and band together to help her flee and defend herself.
So it's a curse STD.
Yes.
Wear condoms, you guys. Wear condoms.
I think it probably still spreads if you wear a condom. But this movie's fucking awesome.
So you've seen it?
Yeah. It's okay. Like an indie movie. I think I already know how the Rotten Tomatoes goes on this one, unfortunately.
Well, we'll do that next episode.
But yeah, it is a good one. There is a... I'll tell you more about it next episode.
Okay, I'm very intrigued.
Okay. I guess I can just tell you now if you're interested.
I
takes place at Oakland University.
Really?
I think it's like shot there.
Really?
I think so. That's one of the things that I read. It was like, hey, I know that place.
Did you recognize it?
I don't remember it. It's mostly in like a neighborhood and a beach, but there's one like pool scene. Maybe that might be a pool at OU. Because I never saw a pool there. Did they have one?
I don't know. Now, are you sure it's our Oakland University and not like an Oakland, California university?
Oh, hang on. We just looked it up and it is indeed our Oakland University.
Yes.
Yep. Jay, the main character, is a student there.
I don't think they actually filmed that OU though. The location they might not have. They're not saying it was filmed in Clarkson's Ice Cream, Clawson High School, Detroit, JC Park, Northville Psychiatric Hospital, Packard Automotive Plant, Redford Theater, Sterling Heights, and yeah.
That's so cool. A local film. Anyway, yeah. This is one of the most beloved modern indie horror movies.
Really? Okay, so I've definitely heard the name, but yeah. Cool.
Yeah, this movie's awesome. So I look forward to seeing that. We also found out that another movie, Beyond the Mask, has close ties to Oakland University. Yeah. When we're looking at this. Have not seen that one. I think it's on Shudder. But
I mean, you could add it to the list if you want, unless you wanted to watch it before.
Ooh, maybe. Maybe I'll just add it to the list. But it's so rare to land on one of these movies. That could be like a year.
I mean, I don't care if you want to watch it before the podcast.
What's funny though is I was looking into It Follows. I wanted to watch it again, and I knew it was on the list. I was like, man, I wish I could just pick that one. And the fates have chosen.
It's the ghost cat. They're like, you know, we'll help. Ooh, the Tigers are winning. I guess we should end this podcast.
Yes, we should. All right. So until next time, keep your cornhole tight.
Oh my god.
Okay.
And find a friendly ghost librarian.
See you later.